Welcome back to Anime Casuals. I'm Lucky.
Here I go! This hand of mine is burning red!
And I'm Michael. Realize the only ones who should kill are those who are prepared to be killed.
Johnny.
Your darkness swallowed up my son? Who decided that?
Erupting! Burning!
Now all of you.
Die.
Oh, we don't need this. And three, two, one. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Anime Casuals. I am Michael.
I'm a Johnny.
And this is the Weekend Talk. Hello. Welcome back to our still trying to figure out our schedule type of couple of weeks. If this is your first time to the Weekend Talk, this is episode 129.
29.
Oh my God. Well, 129 weeks of doing this podcast. So for the Weekend Talk, we normally talk about seasonal anime that we are watching. We basically talk about One Piece every time, but then we organize it in hype order from least hype to most hype. I think for fairness, we could probably leave Trigun. We could probably do a Trigun, High Card, and then then One Piece, then My Hero. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
yeah.
okay with that.
Okay, that's fine. So, yeah, we put in hype order, not necessarily, like, the best of the best, but just what intrigued us the most. Sometimes we have weeks that are, like, hype. So, let's get right into it. Our first episode is Trigun Season 1, Episode 8. Now, this is, if you've watched the original Trigun, this episode might be a bit triggering for you. This is a warning for anybody who hasn't watched it yet. The original Trigun, I think I have to avoid using words that, you know, YouTube might frown upon. But, you know, it was very intense. A lot of, you know, sexual harassment. A lot of things greater than that. A lot of
There's a lot of male energy.
Yes. A lot, toxic masculinity was the name of that episode. Basically, the end result of that was... someone got accused of something that they might or might not have done because the episode's actually pretty iffy on it. But we do find out that the dude was kind of wrongfully or sort of not wrongfully accused. But the guy didn't remember doing anything he did. And then he was basically locked into, stasis? What's it called when you get... frozen in space.
I think stasis is a good word.
Yeah, okay.
Like cryogen or something.
Yeah, cryogenically frozen. He basically got imprisoned in a cryogenic capsule to never be woken up again. That was like his punishment. Put him on ice. In this episode, they kind of took that, and instead of that whole scene being in space before they crash landed on this planet, it happened after they crash landed. And I actually really enjoyed it. I think about 50% of the episode was kind of like work up and build up of the scene and kind of like watching as Vash kind of mixes with the people who are on the ship and kind of and becomes friends with everybody and kind of makes the family. But yeah, Johnny, since you sort of watched the original and now are like watching the new one together,
mm-hmm.
What'd you feel about the episode?
Well, that's the thing. I definitely watched the entire OG, but unfortunately, we took a couple gaps in between, so it was kind of fresh. So watching it new, it was fun. You know, it was just kind of a nice flavor episode for Vash. You know, you kind of get to see a little bit of the aftermath, you know, after, I actually don't know how long after that incident it was, or it's supposed to be.
I would imagine
bringing down of
the human race. Yes. I would imagine it's relatively recent because he was still kind of a kid, but also
I just didn't know if it was like, you did this last week, kid.
Yeah.
You can't just be like letting you out of prison, but either way, So, I mean, it was like all these episodes. I mean, they all look very nice. It's very cool to see all this emotion portrayed in all these characters. And just seeing, what was her name? I wanted to say it's Meg. It's not Meg. Jem? Rem? That's it.
Rem is, Rem. Yeah. Rem is mommy. Rem yeah. is mommy.
Man, it was sad to see those kind of flashbacks of her, you know. I love these kids, and, you know, this one's going to kill me. This one's not. But, yeah. I mean, oh, well. But
Well, and that's I guess, the crazy part is, like, between Nye, who is called Knives in the original, and Vash, between Nye and Vash, it's like, you both had, like, elements of the same personality. Mm-hmm. And you can see, like, even in Knives, like, before, you know, whole bringing down the human race, he still, like, wanted to be loved by Rem. Like, that was still a thing he wanted. And he's like, oh, I like our family. But also, all of you humans are stupid. And, yeah. like, are cattle. And I think you should all be dead. And then he was even, like, he even went to the point, it's like, I care about my brother enough that I will let Rem live, and then the three of us can live. Like, that's fine. But then he was like, oh, she ran back. Let's forget about her, and I'll just live with my brother. I'm like... Like, there's the elements of love there. And then, you know, things went downhill, you know, obviously.
Silly humans, what are you going to do?
Yeah. And that's what's crazy also is, like, all these ships kind of crashed but also landed sort of appropriately. Then now they're trying to research, like, what happened because, they're like, a lot of them are scientists. Mm-hmm. And then we see, like, Vash's extraordinary ability is that he is a byproduct of the plant, which I think is a fun play on the word of plants, like a power plant.
Sure.
And like him and his brother were born from the plant, which are like these extra dimensional creatures that live in these bubbles that provide extraordinary amounts of power to the ship.
Yeah.
And he can just talk to them and bring them back alive. So, you know, it's kind of crazy, like, what he can do and kind of how he shared his knowledge and how he was mostly imprisoned for about, I don't know, like, a couple months before they were like, hey.
Probably at least.
Yeah, come live with us. And then 5 years went by of him living with these people aboard the ship. And then they finally found out that his brother, the other quote-unquote independent, was the one who crashed them all. And then he ran away.
Yeah, they assumed too much from the recording,
mm-hmm.
which was pretty, that was a pretty intense recording to find. I was like, where was that speaker?
Yeah.
Just hanging out nearby? I don't know. And nobody found it, I guess. But, man, it was tough. You know, and he makes a bold move, you know, the hard move, you know, I gotta get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Leaves his spiffy jacket, which I thought he was gonna take, but I guess he's gonna get a new jacket somewhere.
Or come back for it.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. I'm just guessing. I'm just like, you know, I assume a lot of things and sometimes they come true and sometimes they don't. But the episode basically ends with him finding Knives, which I don't know how he found. He just went to a broken spaceship, was like, he's in here. And then...
Well, would you call it just another plant or just another series of plants?
I think it was another series of plants.
Okay. Well, I hope now we get like a, here's what Knives went through.
Yeah. While like... Yeah, they both crash landed, but we know that Vash, like, messes his brother up at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this is what we're about to see is, like, him shooting the crap out of Knives or something and going, like, yo, this is not cool, man. Like, you're not cool. But, yeah, they are taking some different approaches to the episode. I think they're great. Like,
yeah, they're good. It's definitely surprising to hear what Michael said about that guy. And how he was definitely different. I was like, oh, that's not what happened at all. So that's fine, you know, and it was fun to see.
Yeah, if you care, look up Brad from Trigun and look at what he did in the original and then look at him in the new one. They're very different characters.
Just one of many big differences in this anime, but they're not bad.
No, and I honestly, we don't need what happened in the last episode. It was like sort of really extreme, but I would also say the original is much darker. So, yeah, I think that brings us nicely into a lighter tone and talking about High Card, season 1, episode 7, I believe.
High Card.
I was going to say it's episode 7 because I can't
card,
find it.
Low Card.
Johnny, what happened in this episode?
What'd
you like in this episode?
What did I like? Man, I don't know. I mean, I guess I liked the quote-unquote fan service of this new character. I mean, she's fun. I honestly thought there was going to be something bigger there, but just because I had to scroll backwards and I saw flashes in back in reverse, so it kind of messed me up a little bit. But you know, watching it, I didn't get to catch which card that was, you know, as far as like which suit and number. But man, that was kind of a dumb. It's kind of a dumb card. I'm not gonna lie.
I think it was really low. I think it was low. I think.
Oh,
it was,
no, I'm sure it was. Yeah. I didn't know it was maybe like two of clubs or something, because that's.
I thought it was like four.
Your hands are stuck together.
Yeah.
Get bent.
Yeah.
Like I was just kind of silly, but yeah, we have our two guys, Mr. Immortal and, you know, guy with the gun. I don't know names.
That's okay.
They find Finn. This girl with who has a card. She's very she lives her life to the fullest, I guess, in some ways. She
an goes influencer, around and, as they say.
Yeah, I guess she say that. Okay. An influencer where she goes around and she kind of couch surfs and, you know, just kind of does a bunch of random jobs for no reason, just trying to find people because she's trying to find, quote unquote, the one, you know, her sweetheart. So they find her and they're like, hey, you know, we should go on a date, Mr. Immortal and this chick. And she's like, no, I'm pretty good at reading people. You're scum. Get out of my way.
You're empty.
And so then his partner comes up and they try to get, you know, just lift the card from her. And like, hey, you want this card, don't you? So she uses it and they get their hands stuck together. And so they spend the rest of the episode following this girl who has this silly card, you know, throughout her life, you know, doing different jobs and random events and meetings with people. And their hands are stuck together the whole time. It made me think of that JoJo episode.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Yeah.
Oh my God, it's the same thing. This could have been way worse, guys. You're fine. Just keep going. So
she could have stuck any part of you together.
The whole chase was pretty mundane and, you know, just more just kind of silly. So yeah. There wasn't a whole lot to the episode as far as that. But, you know, it was also fine in its own way, I guess. I don't know, it wasn't especially boring for some reason. But
the highlight was learning about Immortal's, like, history. He has
a second half.
Yeah, which is crazy. And I think everybody's card kind of has to do with their personality or their history at some point. Like, the Flame Lady from previous... Like, she worshipped the god of fire and was like, I'll incinerate everything, which is kind of her personality. Mm-hmm. And now we have, like, this influencer lady who's, like, her power is to join people together, which was kind of like a love thing, right? Is to hold hands forever.
Yeah.
And that's all she's searching for. And then we have Mr. Immortal, whose mom died from a genetic disease. His sister is dying from, or possibly dying, extremely sick of her genetic disease, and here he is with the power to not die.
Yeah,
it's like I'm enjoying all of these like kind of plays, and I'm kind of wondering like, is Finn's like the ability to shoot a gun straight and the weakest because he's working his way from the bottom up, and secretly it might be like the strongest power, but I don't know.
There was a moment where he does something pretty nifty with it. I don't know if that's going to expand, but I mean, that's an interesting theory to it, and I'm curious about it.
Yeah. So there's a lot of fun stuff in this episode and in this show, like just knowing about, I keep wanting to say like Wolfhard, but like, I don't think that's his name. Immortal's like life and the reason he is who he is. It's like, he's making money for his sister to make sure that she is taking care of the hospital. Like once every couple of months, he takes her out on this like fun adventure and then tries to get her back before she like is, you know, taken over by her genetic disease. And it kind of shows off to that influencer girl. It's like, hey, he's not just empty. It's like, he puts on a show because he's got like horrible past trauma in his life. And I believe that the episode kind of ends with him taking her to a doctor.
Yeah. She falls down and is actually like bleeding from the mouth. And mm-hmm. So then, you know, they're still stuck by the hand, but they're like, hey, you got to undo this right now. And so then she does, he takes her to the hospital, and that's when, you know, they go further into the hole. Like,
yeah.
You know, I think I know who you are now. You're not necessarily such a bad guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll give you this card when I'm done with it.
Yeah. Also, it was very cute watching her try to like provoke him in front of the sister, and he just like brushed everything off.
Yeah. Nope. I'm a gentleman in front of my sister. Absolutely not.
Yeah. That was
begone thought.
through the begone thought. That was probably the cutest part of the entire episode that I really enjoyed. But other than that, Hikar's got a lot to go. So let's move right on over to One Piece episode 1053.
Hoo-wee.
Hoo-wee. In this episode, we'll just truncate it. There was a miniature time where Yamato was like, yo, Momonosuke, you've got to lift up the entire island with your crazy clouds. And he's like, how do I do that? She goes, you'll figure it out.
Yeah, get your nonsense together.
Yeah.
And so he's still just struggling to do that. Mm-hmm. He's getting a little bit better. I mean, he grabbed like a bit of clouds, but yeah, he's just not, I don't know. He's not accepting that he's like a powerful dragon, you know, that just bit Kaido and drew blood.
Yep. And yeah, very much that. And he's like, well, our powers could be different. It's like, yeah, are they? Are they different?
They could be better.
You're literally, you look identical, except you're pink. So, I mean, like, yeah, they could be better because Vegapunk's crazy. Also, this episode teaches us that Vegapunk is literally an insane person who has brought technology into this world that should not exist. Frankie is literally a giant robot.
Mm-hmm.
And so apparently is Queen. So apparently, Queen breaks the laws of dinosaurs.
Yeah, I really hate that, and I really don't understand what that means. I don't know. So he does this move where he straightens all the way out, and he shoots himself out like a cannon. But what that what happens then is, it's his head and the brontosaurus neck that gets shot out, and he comes out like a snake. What? How does that work?
Yeah.
What are the dinosaurs in this world?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Why are Triceratops just, like, spinning their frill and flying that way? It's so ridiculous.
Also,
it makes sense.
It's just those two so far. It's just the Brachiosaurus and the Triceratops. The Pterodactyl, I think, is still the same.
Yeah, everything else is fine so far. I mean, I don't know. I guess they had to make them interesting, but they could have just picked different dinosaurs, I feel like. But
they could have. Yeah, well, yeah, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if Queen's body is just completely, like, all cyborg, except for, like, you know, his, like, round neck thing.
Yeah.
That is, but I don't know.
Also,
I'm terrified.
What is Queen, like, if Queen transformed back right now, what would Queen look like?
That's what I want to know. I don't know, and I'm terrified.
Yeah. So, oh my god. So Queen shoots out, like, this little brontosaurus tail snake, and wraps around Sanji, who this whole time we've been seeing Sanji going like, oh, I think my ribs are broken. Wait.
Yeah.
My shoulders, my neck, and he keeps having this kind of weird feeling like going on in his body, just going like, I don't know what's happening. And then Queen wraps around him and crushes him, which, to be fair, that's a lot of muscle. That's like squeezing to the death.
I mean, it's like it's all neck.
I mean,
there's a lot of strength there. It's like a giant snake. They're all neck, and it's crazy.
And and then does something stupid. Queen shoots two massive rockets at himself.
That was probably the dumbest thing I've seen in a bit on One Piece. Like, that was pretty gnarly. He actually does a lot of serious damage to himself by shooting a couple of, like, hard missiles at himself. And even worse, he's like, hey, you're not supposed to do that now. You're supposed to do it when I say this. And then it happens. Like, come on, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That's some... I don't know if that's lazy writing or if they're just trying to emphasize these people are silly.
Yeah, silly. Queen it. And to be fair, Queen is silly the entire time. Like, pretty ridiculous. Strong, but ridiculous. Even back in the fight with Luffy. Like, that was a bunch of silliness.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah. Queen...
Sanji gets then crushed. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's
by,
okay. Keep going.
Queen. And he's all, like, mangled and horrible.
His leg looks like seven joints. His arm looks like seven joints. He's like half... Like a crinkled Pringles can.
Oh, man.
Like, someone grabbed a Pringles can and just squished one side.
Yeah.
That's what he looks like.
I thought he was going to be one of those, like, multi, like, elbowed people, whatever. But no, it's definitely not that, and I'm happy about it. But yeah, then he just starts beating himself back into correct form. And it just sounds like he's beating up metal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at that point, I was like, what the hell's going on? But then they very much go into, it's his body enhancements... apparently finally
kicking in,
activating from when he was a child, from, you know, what he has with his brother and sisters, or brothers and sister.
Yeah. Which I thought was all crazy to me. And I wonder if the suit, because the suit was delivered to him in Wano, or like going to Wano, something like right before Wano, he got the suit, and his dad made the suit for him. His dad is also a really smart scientist and works with other scientists. And I'm guessing they just made that suit. So I wonder if, like, after that whole thing with Sanji, they were like, oh, wait, no, he does have the enhancements, just for whatever reason, they're not activated. So we're going to send him the suit, and it's going to trigger the enhancements in him.
That would be gnarly. I don't know how they would figure out how to do that. But, I mean, that would be crazy. And I hope they go into that a little bit. I wouldn't mind having a little bit of, like, a meanwhile at Germa.
Yeah. Germa 66. He's like, I love my son now. My son's cool. Or it's the daughter going, yo, if you don't fix up your Sanji, the cool one, we're going to have words. We're going to have a lot of words.
I'm going to poison everyone's food.
Yes. I'm going to spit poison in your mouths.
You're done.
Yeah. So that basically ends with, after he fixes himself, which a lot of the comments on that episode were like, hey, it's the first time Sanji's used his hands since forever. This is the most amount of handwork he's done in the entire show. I'm like, you're right. He punched himself a bunch of times.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's true.
And then Queen comes over with a giant sword and then cracks him, like trying to cut off his head, and it breaks on contact with his head. So I don't think this boy needs hockey anymore, because hockey is meant to, like, as an extra layer of armor, but he's literally just armor.
Yeah. Just keep going with the observation hockey. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Because, yeah, he's hard as whatever.
Now I want to see kicks. I want to see more kicks and seeing what he can do with his legs. Because it's interesting. I wonder if Zoro can cut him.
I mean, if it was with hockey, I mean, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting. So we have Sanji's sudden mutation. It's awesome. I love it. Now I can't wait to see more episodes, because I was talking to Johnny while watching this one going, I think this is the arc where they're bringing the whole One Piece crew up a level. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Franky can get better until he, like, meets with Dr. Vegapunk.
Yeah, maybe. It'd be cool if he gets some, like, Sea Prism Stone upgrades, weirdly.
It'd be really cool. That'd be cool, because
I don't care.
If he can have hockey, if he's just like, I made my armor out of Sea Prism Stone. It's like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know. Nothing else, right? That was it?
No. I mean, King's got a pretty cool form, but no. Zoro's just kind of still dealing with that. Nothing really advanced there, so.
Yeah, so that's going to be really sick. I'm excited to see more Sanji stuff. And that leads us to the biggest episode of the season. My Hero Season 6, Episode 21, which were a handful of episodes from the end, of this core. So we'll see how the next three episodes go crazy. We have Deku versus Lady Nagant, who has a giant sniper rifle for her arm, was part of a vigilante crew that was out here killing villains. And then I think eventually she was just like, what was it? Like, she was working to kill villains, and then she was like, this is wrong.
So she was, like, in a black ops unit, I guess.
Yeah.
So, and she was taking out villains, you know, that were too dangerous, I guess, to keep alive. So
taking out,
eventually, yes. She got tired of it. She lost her kind of, like, spark for heroism. Mm-hmm. And so she eventually said, I am done with this. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to just say whatever. And I guess she became some kind of, like, hitman, almost.
Yeah.
Which was pretty good at that, because she was the best, you know, shooting hero in the world, because, you know, what's his name?
Six Shooter?
Yeah, Six Shooter was like, yeah, I'm pretty good, but my range is only like 600 feet.
Because of his quirk. Because of his quirk allows him to make homing bullets and sense people within like 600
yards. Yeah, accuracy, but he can hit them, which is kind of cool. But her thing, she can do it just from technique.
Yeah.
And she just makes snipers out of her arm, which is all crazy.
Yeah, that's, and it's not the first time I've seen somebody with like an arm gun. I feel like I have strong memories of someone's arm like cocking back and then a missile shooting out their elbow. And that's really cool. But she was also given another quirk, airwalk, so she can run on air and be a sniper, and she can basically pull her hair off and turn it into any kind of bullet she wants, which I actually think is crazy. Because that's dangerous. Like, she can make an AP round, like, out of her hair. She can make an anti-tank round out of her hair. It's like, she can, and she can change the grooves on the bullet to spin it whichever way she needs it. So I'm like, Wild stuff. She's
got
doing.
A gnarly quirk. And then, you know, during the prison break, like you were saying, she was giving the airwalk quirk.
Yeah. And then she was also helping Chisaki, who was overhaul from the previous couple of seasons, who lost his arms and now has nothing to live for except to apologize to his grandpa, who he messed up initially and left in a coma. And now doesn't have the power to change that because he lost. He didn't lose his quirk, but lost the ability to use his quirk. And so Deku and her have this huge battle where they're going back and forth, basically like her going like, why are you a hero when being a hero sucks? Like, because she was basically used her whole life to kill villains instead of doing what Deku does, which is knocking them out and locking them away. And then Deku's sitting over here making us as the viewers blowing our minds. We get introduced to his new quirk. Was it Luffin? Duffin?
No, it's Fajin or something.
Fajin.
But I don't really understand what it is, to be honest.
So what it is a repetitive motion doubles, triples, quadruples itself. So example, like if you were to kick out with your leg, your leg is going to save that energy each time you do it.
Oh, so he can build kinetic energy?
Is correct.
That what Fajin is?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is crazy because that's kind of what Stockpile does over years, which is what it's been doing to every quirk. It's just been piling on top of itself this whole time. So now he has a quirk that is able to store kinetic energy over and over again, and then he's able to kind of control it. Which I thought was insane. He pulled off some really cool stuff where he shot himself all the way through a skyscraper. He like kicked himself faster than a bullet and then did it again in the other way, like a Spider-Man whip with a black whips, and then shot himself back towards Lady Nagant. That whole like scene of her shooting towards Chisaki, then him going, oh, well, I've been prepping for this. And then the like light stream of him going past the bullet.
I didn't rewind it because I wanted to keep watching, but I liked how when he did that, I feel like there was like a sound of a bullet going like pew, and he just whoosh, he was gone.
Yeah.
And so that was a pretty cool scene. I really liked seeing that.
Yeah. Although I'm sure Chisaki would have been like, oh,
he's just a Spider-Man on steroids.
Yes.
That's what he's becoming, and it's great.
And then he uses the black whip as like two Spider-Man webs. And pulls himself the other way and kicks in the air using, I don't know. All I know is like the last episode, I think the third, which is almost making me think like Avatar The Last Airbender, like going, it's the third Avatar, the fourth Avatar. The third user of One For All was like, hey, you got to stop using all these quirks together because like, you know, you're going to injure yourself. And it's like, then he goes by during this fight where he goes, oh, yeah, you use this quirk, and then this quirk, and then this quirk, and then this quirk, and then this quirk. And then you simplified it after that, just using three quirks in a row. And I'm like, yeah, our boy Deku is learned by doing, not learned by thinking, even though the entirety of the show, he's been learned by thinking. I'm like, he can do whatever he wants. And now I'm really excited to know whatever that last quirk is.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be interesting to see what it is. I got to know. I mean, even though it seems like Fajin is pretty good. No, I don't know why they have to call it Fajin, because that's kind of a confusing thing, but I don't know. It's definitely cool. I mean, the whole thing is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see where it's going to go, and I mean, he definitely takes out Lady Nagant. He saves Chisaki and then comes back and chases her down and breaks her arm, so it changes back from a gun into a mangled hand, which is pretty gnarly. From there, then we get to see he's trying to save her. You know, grabs her for a minute, drops her, but then he gets back up. We see Endeavor. Why am I blanking on his name? Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up.
Tiny little wings.
Yeah, he's got like, I don't know, it looks like six wings that he can shoot out.
Yeah. So
he tries to save Nagant, you know, help Deku out, but even Deku can't hold them because he's too weak and he doesn't have enough wings, so they're just falling. But he does manage actually to make them land safely without getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So they get her down. Oh, well, there was one more thing. All For One left a little present in Nagant.
Oh, it was horrible to watch.
And said, like, that was probably my only thing with the episode. I don't know. We were just like, and now All For One talking to himself. Yes, the heart is such a fickle thing. And it's just like, I planned this whole thing. I'm not talking to anybody, but he's like, I left another quirk in her, and it's a little explosive. So she explodes and gets messed up. So that's why she's, like, down for the count, and they're trying to save her. Yep. So eventually they get down there. They tell Endeavor, go get Shisaki on the rooftop. And he's like, okay, sure. I don't do good in the rain, but sure. So then they go back down to her, and they're like, please, you have to tell us anything you can. You know, we want to help you, but we got to get something. And, you know, she eventually becomes back to her, like, her hero self kind of thing, thanks to Deku. And tells them what she knows about this. I don't remember exactly what it was, but she gives them a bit of information about something coming up in the future.
Oh, yeah. She basically goes, hey, yo, I needed to bring this target to this place. And a few other people were told the same thing. So I'm now excited because I think the last couple episodes in this is going to be tackling that and why they needed to bring these targets to these places and maybe an even more horrible quirk idea. So, like, maybe there's a fight going on or, like, a showdown or some kind of tournament where it's, like, they just kidnap people and pit them against each other. I don't know. But it seems like it's going to be kind of crazy. Also, I found out what Fajin means. It means to issue or discharge power explosively or refining the explosive power. It is from Chinese martial arts.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It says a boxer is capable of a fajin. So that kind of, I guess that makes sense. It's like storing power and then exploding out. Yeah.
Well, last bit of the episode, Chisaki comes and is angry that Negan isn't going to fulfill her side of the bargain of taking him to his pops. So Deku says, look, if you can redirect that energy, you know, trying to make it up to your pops and making it up to Eri, you know, and all the horrible things you did to her, I will help you fulfill that. So it seems like he's deciding to consider that. And then they're trying to go back to Negan and be like, she needs first aid, but she's definitely not going to make it. But I think one of the things that kind of like freaked me out a bit about the episode was then we see Deku just say, all for one. You know, he's just kind of like thinking about it. And, you know, because they talk about how his eyes are still sparkling with like hope and heroism. But I don't know. I feel like he's getting a bit more like squiggly in the eyes. So I'm worried about kind of like a darkness creeping on. But I don't know. I also think he's going to stick true. But I mean, I don't know. Just something I saw. That's all. And that's pretty much the end of the episode.
Yeah. In the future, we might be tackling Vinland Saga Season 1 and 2 or Buddy Daddies, at least the first 6 episodes before the second half of that show comes out. So let us know which either if you want us to cover. Otherwise, we might just stick with whatever's out and watchable. Otherwise, you know, like, subscribe, review, share us with your friends. We're still trying to get a handle on our schedules, so apologies for any discrepancy of release episodes. But we thank you for sticking with us. And as always, you got to keep
it
casual. Bye.